Today we are going to be reading from Habakkuk chapter 3. I won't be leading you in reading all of all the verses. We will just read verses 1 to 4. Okay. Let's read together verses 1 to 4. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Taman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise, rays fresh from his hand, where his power was hidden. Okay, that's all. Today we are very privileged to have Reverend Yap to share the message with us. The title of his sermon is Hinds Feet on High Places.
Poor Jeff, he doesn't know what to say because I'm very harsh on co-workers, so he's like, all the time. We always joke around. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to thank you for leading us once again back to this hall. Last week, there was the pipes were broken on the 15th floor, and we ended up on the 8th floor. But today, we are back here, and it feels good just to see your glory. And Lord, you teach us not to take things for granted, especially in our praise and wonder to you. And help us remain vigilant that every time we can, when there are circumstances beyond our control, we understand, Lord, that you are in control. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. There was a fella who was about to jump from the bridge. An alert police officer came by and slowly talked him and coaxed him into coming back from the bridge. I mean, so far from the bridge. And when he got within of the man, he said to him, the police officer said, surely nothing is worse than taking your life. Tell me about all you're going on and talk to me. So the jumper said, my wife left me. My business had gone bankrupt. All my friends had deserted me. Everything in life has lost its meaning. So went on for 30 minutes and told about his sad story. What happened in the end? Take a guess. They looked at each other and they both jumped. Sad story, right? Yeah. Now, Habakkuk chapter 3, the whole book of Habakkuk talks about a prophet who had lost any hope to see what God is doing in the world. It's hard to be a prophet because you're given prophecy. You know about the future even before Israel fell. You have this foreknowledge and vision. It's like you read the last chapter of a novel and you don't want to read the beginning anymore. With all this vision he has struggles. He had all this skepticism about what God is going to do and suspicion about what God can do. But by chapter 3, Habakkuk has changed his attitude. From chapter 1 and 2, it was a very pessimistic attitude. But now, in chapter 3, he has a positive attitude. In chapter 1 and 2, he was very petulant. And now, in chapter 3, he was very patient. In chapter 2, he was like he was a pouting prophet, a pouting partner, and now he's a pleasing partner. So we ask ourselves, as Christians, with all the unrest in Hong Kong, I always use the word die, D-I-E. Do you know what's D-I-E? Disease, D for disease. I is immigration, E is for employment. The city is dying, okay? Now we ask ourselves, what is God doing in Hong Kong or in the world around us? How does he assure us as his people that this life is worth living? And how do we, and why our focus must always be on God and not on the problems in our lives. Now, the first point I want to talk about, chapter 3, is that no matter what you're going through in this time, we must regroup or revive or renew in His sufficiency, okay? We must be able to get back up. Point number one, revive in His sufficiency, okay? Now, just now we read about, you see the first word is a prayer, okay? Before, when Habakkuk chapter 1 began, he talks about the burden that he had. But now in chapter 3, he had the change of heart. He began to pray to God. And in verses, let's read, because it's a long one, I'll just read verses 8 through 11. Read with me verses 8 through 11. 1, 2, 3. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Do you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. In the mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water slept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lighting of your flashing spear. Now he has this change of attitude. Now he can see the glory of the Lord. And it's just, that's the story of a life. Sometimes you don't know what God is doing. I have a song. Next, can you play the song? This is a beautiful song from John Newton. This is from a famous song, Though I Speak with Tongues and of Arrows. So you can sing with me.
I ask the Lord that I might go in favor and love.
Weapon.
I ask the Lord that I might go in faith and love, and all His grace, my more of His salvation known and seen.
But he doesn't like the Lord's answer.
Twas He who taught me thus to pray, and He I trust has answered prayer. But it has been in such a
now he asks Lord for more power.
I hope that in some favored eyes,
so is what we hope.
And once He answered my request, and by His love's constraining power,
but the Lord didn't answer him.
Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry pass away.
Felt really down, down. He thought the Lord hurt him.
Saw the fair design.
just a worm. Isn't this what you pray to me? Have you looked to the world for your answers? Are you finding your all in the Lord or in the things around you or the people around you to solve your problems? That's what Habakkuk had to experience from God. We see at the next PowerPoint, in the beginning,
I ask the Lord.
The next PowerPoint, please. Yeah. In chapter 1, verse 1, he started with the burden. In chapter 3, verse 1, he started with his prayer. Okay, so it's changed. In chapter 1, verse 2, in the beginning he said, Thou will not hear. The Lord, you did not hear me. But now in chapter 3, verse 2, next PowerPoint, he said, I have heard. He begins to hear God instead of God hearing him. In chapter 1, verse 7, please next PowerPoint. Okay, the chart, yeah. They are terrible. They were dreadful, talking about the Babylonians. But now he has a change of heart and says, I was afraid. Is this one not working or what? Okay, good. So many things happened. Now I'm like Habakkuk, okay. And Habakkuk, he knew he was a prophet, but he couldn't understand what God is doing. And so he composed this in chapter 4, chapter 7, in chapter 3. But what he could do is this in verse 2. He says, revive your word, repeat your word in me. In all these things, you see all these things that's going on around him trembling. But all can pray to God that God will repeat his word in King James Version, revive your work in me. But for God to continue to work in his life. Instead of seeing the world around you, say, Lord, continue your work. See the Lord at work. That's what Habakkuk wants to do. That God will continue to restore him. Revive the deeds. The deeds in verse 2 refer to, in other passages in the Bible, refer to his work, his act. He was looking at the time when God would do his great work in him and to everywhere around him. And verse 3, he continued to say, the Lord is the Holy One. And his praise and his glory cover all the earth. Okay, let's see the next PowerPoint. Okay, and here he asking the Lord to show his power. He was not asking the Lord. He was not daring God. He was not doubting God. But he continued to ask the Lord to show to the world how he's acting. He, as a prophet, his job is to declare his praise, to dignify his role as a prophet, and to detail, disclose God's glory. Okay, but when he asked the Lord to revive your work, it wasn't criticizing God, not confronting God. But in all of us, we got to call on him. And when we have problems in our life, We confide in him, and through it all, we can count on him. And that's what our story now is in Hong Kong. When you see all this disease, you see a lot of people immigrating, and you see a lot of people without a job, what can you do? All you can do is pray to God and ask the Lord to work in your life that you may see the Lord in all his glory. And it can be smaller things, it can be big things. It can be young, it can be the old. It can be believers and to outsiders. But ask the Lord to still you, to keep you in his love and be patient to see the Lord at work. So the first point is that we have to regroup in his sufficiency. We know that he's more than sufficient for us, but we have to see him at work. And the second thing is that we got to rest in his security. Okay, rest in his security. Let's read verses 12 to 15, the one before. Okay, 12 to 15. 1, 2, 3. In wrath you strode to the earth, and in anger you trashed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. There's a story about a lady who went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I won't be going to your church anymore." So the pastor responded, "Oh, why? See, I saw a person gossiping about another person in your church. And I saw a man that is a prophet, is a hypocrite. And I saw people in their, when they are hearing the pastor's sermon, they're looking at the phone during service. And among so many things that are wrong in your church." And the pastor said, "Okay, I understand what you're saying. But before you leave our church, do me a favor. Take a full glass of water and walk around the church, this block, okay, 3 times, with ease, without spilling a drop on the ground." And so being a small church, the lady walked 3 times. And so said to the pastor, "Now I've done my job, I'm going to leave." And the pastor said, "Well, when you were walking around the church, do you see anyone gossiping?" "No." "Do you see any hypocrites?" "No." "Do you see anyone looking at the phone?" "No." "You see, you were focused on the glass to make sure you didn't stumble and spill any water. It's the same with life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have time to see the mistakes of others. We'll reach out a helping hand and to concentrate on our own walk with the Lord." It's the same with Habakkuk. Instead of seeing all these problems around him, from verse 12, he sees the glory of God. What God has done in the world and what the Lord has done in his life. And that's our story too. Let's take a look at the next chart. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem, a prayer, okay? He talked about the actions of God, the consequences, the aftermath, and the last thing, the atmosphere surrounding this passage. Who is the Lord? He is the Holy One. His attributes, okay? We see his glory. Verse 3, we see his praise. Verse 4, we see his power. And verse 6, his ways are everlasting. Instead of looking at the world around you, you look at the attributes of God. And then you realize what he has done. Number 1, to the nations. Verse 6 and 12, and he has done to Kushan and Midian. Kushan is Egypt, I think, Ethiopia or Egypt. One of those E nations. And what he has done to nature, earth, mountains and hills in verse 6, rivers and seas in verse 8, the water, the deep in verse 10, the sun and moon, verse 11, verse 12, the land, verse 14, whirlwind. Do you guys feel a whirlwind on Tuesday? Not much, huh? Yeah. And then finally, verse 14, the nobles. So Habakkuk's focus is on the Lord. what he has done, the nations, nature, and nobles. And with all that going around him, how did he feel? Verse 7, he see affliction and tremble. He see the Lord displeased. He saw the Lord angry and in wrath. He saw the nations trembling as they see the indignation of God and the anger of God. You just have to turn your focus in the Lord and see what he has done, not see what he did not do. He will finish his work at the right time. And do you know that glory and praise, these two words are muted, not much as mentioned among the prophets, except Zechariah. But here, with Habakkuk, he talks about the glory of God that will cover. The word cover in Hebrew is not just cover. You need to add the word definitely or surely. Okay, it will surely cover the earth. The next one. So fast, are you sure? Oh, yeah, this is the one, okay. He's going to talk about dominance over the world. Not only dominance, but its density, full of it. He's going to talk about pestilence, which means its destruction. He measured the earth, means the demarcation of the world. And finally, he's going to displace, he drove asunder the nations. And finally, he will deference, the hills will bow to him. Everyone will bow to him. Do you know this is a God? When you look at the world around you, you see what is not done. But you look at God, you see what he's doing and what we will continue to do. I don't know about you. I'm very angry in Hong Kong. But every time I think of it, I say, no, Lord, if you judge Hong Kong or you judge the world, we will never, never be able to endure it. So we pray for them. And now the next PowerPoint. Yeah, I love verses 7 onwards. Verse 7 onwards. Next PowerPoint? Yeah. And no, just now there was one chart. Okay, this is it. Okay, this one. The emotions in this chart is very hard to talk to you about how Habakkuk feels. If I were to tell you how he is, it would be like, he'll be like Andrew, very hyper. Okay, that's how he is. And he uses all these words to tell you how he feels. When he talks about affliction in the Hebrew, it is like a dog panting. You cannot see my tongue. When they talk about tremble, he quivers. How do you quiver? Okay. Verse 8, when it talks about displease, what is the word displease? It's glowing. That's how it talks about this word. And with anger, Habakkuk uses about breathing, rapid breathing. Okay, it's different from panting. It's rapid breathing. When it talks about wrath, okay, your parents are angry at you, outburst, okay, just comes suddenly. I love this one the best. Verse 10. Trembling is from the Greek that talks about twist. Okay? That's how it feels. Indignation is at the mouth, the defrosting of saliva. And finally, anger. Anger is the word from the nose. Flaring of God's wrath from the nose. So, that's why I like Habakkuk so much, because it tells us more about, because I cannot tell you how God is displeased or how God is angry at all these things around him. But Habakkuk does a good job with all this atmosphere. Finally, we not only rest to know that we are secure in him. Nothing can harm us without his knowledge. And finally, this is the last part. He, for three chapters, is very, very down, this prophet. He is very displeased. He was very dumbfounded with what God is doing. And in the end, the last point, he can rejoice in his sovereignty. Next point, rejoice in his sovereignty. Okay, that he can praise God because God is not like us. God is responsible for himself, and God does what he likes. Verses 16 and verses 19. Read with me. 1, 2, 3. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in stores, yet I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights from the director of music on my string instruments. I have found a wonderful deer story about how deers leap. Okay, next one, please. The video. I'm not sure what to expect nowadays. Okay, video, please. Yeah. No. The deer video. Habakkuk's feelings now, he can rejoice in the Lord. And it felt like he was like a deer jumping into the high mountains. There's like, before he was so down in himself. Now he can see what the Lord is doing in the world. And he can rejoice in what the Lord is doing, not what we are thinking. Okay, and he was shocked before, but now he can only say how he feels. Okay, the next PowerPoint. You say, he can, verses 18 to 19, I will rejoice in the Lord. Okay, the word rejoice is talk about jump. Okay, I will be joyful in God, verse 18. That word joyful is spin. Okay, and the last, the sovereign, he's the Adonai, he's the Lord. So we can see he is Yahweh, Israel's God, in verse 18. He's the Elohim, my Savior. And finally, he's the Lord. And he's a Jehovah. And verse 16, he continues to talk about how he feels in the Lord's presence. Okay, verse 16, pounded is from the heart. Quivered is from the lips. It's like that. Okay. And finally, verse 16, his bones tremble. I don't know about you. Pastor Yap had a minor stroke 2 years ago. And at night, I have to put a lot of blanket on my feet because my bones cannot stand the cold. That's how he feels about his bones trembling. And there's one verb that occurs the most in the whole book of, in the whole chapter of chapter 3. Which you do not think about, is this word, pounded. Pounded, okay? Twice in verse 16, and also once earlier in verse 7. Okay. But how do we see? What does this passage have to do with us? Which is in the next PowerPoint. And King James say, verse 17, though the fig tree, right? Yeah. Though the fig tree. But in Hebrew, it's not though. Though is, it could happen, it could not happen. But in Hebrew, it's because, for. What does it mean to us? It means that things will go rotten. It will go worse than it is. It's not though, it's because. Okay? What does it say? Because the fig tree does not bud. He expects the fig tree does not bud. Because there are no grapes on the vines. Because the olive crop fails. Because the fields produce no food. Because there's no sheep in the pen. Because no cattle in the stores. Talks about the bud is talk about the little flower bud. And then the vine talk about wine. And then talk about olive will be giving you oil. And fields will give you grain. And then the sheep will give mutton. And cattle will give beef. Even though you don't have all this from Hong Kong TV mall, what are you going to do? What's the third point? Rejoice. I always have this Chinese song ringing in my head from Streams of Praise. I don't know if you know this song. 你的喜乐是我力量 Yours, joy is my strength. What's the strength in your life? Not property. Not anything the world can, not people. But what is a joy? It's in the Lord. I will rejoice in His sovereignty. I cannot do nothing more. But if I do less, I cannot survive. Isn't that true? Yes. So, we must continue. A joy, true joy, is independent of what? Circumstances. Substance, even the present people give you, you expect something great, but it's not. Real joy is independent of instances. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness happens. If something good happens to you, then you have happy. But joy is regardless of those. I just learned a new word lately. It's called happenstance. One word. Happenstance. Happen in an instance, and then you have happiness. But that's not what we can rejoice. Okay, there's the difference between joy and rejoice. Rejoice is the verb. Don't keep looking for the joy or the happiness. It comes when you continue to rejoice in the Lord. And why did I give you that deer? Because in the last verse, he said this, I will be joyful. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Deer can jump 5 to 8 feet up. And can jump 15 feet long. Okay? So the Lord will make us more hyper than a few Andrews. Can you imagine? How great is that? You know, I really appreciate Andrew. He's been going through a chemo. But every time he sends out his text, wow, he's more hyper than me. I think they give him the wrong injection, I think. He gets more and more hyper. Okay? But this is it. What's that hind No, you don't have that word, okay? In the King James Version, it says not a deer, it's called hind, H-I-N-D, like hind feet. What's a hind? Have you guys seen The Sound of Music? What's the start with? What's the first word? Doe, deer, a female deer. Okay, doe is a female deer, but hind is a red female deer. You look at your King James, it says it will be like a female, red female deer jumping in the mountains. If our joy, rejoicing is sovereignty, all these things, not that they won't bother us, but it won't keep us down. So what I want to say about Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk is a prophet that started with saying, challenging God, God, why do you let Israel fall? And God say, I will make Babylonian exile them away. And Habakkuk was even more angry. Why do you use this wicked Babylon to exile the bad Israelites? I cannot accept that. But in chapter 3, he understood. In the end, he said, He said, because all these bad things will happen. Yet I will what? What's the R word? I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I sang the song in the Chinese side, so I cannot sing. I cannot sing this one. But it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. Huh? 我要喜乐，我要赞美，我要喜乐，我要赞美。The last part is, yesterday I tried to sing a song, and I asked the person, when is the song ending? Because there's no going down. So, you keep on going. So, well, how do you end? I forgot how to end the song. Okay, that's how Habakkuk feels. Now, what's the conclusion? Conclusion is that God is sovereign. He's a maker. He's the real king of the world, and he's the master of this universe. Even though you see things going wrong, but our eyes must be focused on him. Why? Because he's not appointed by anybody. Okay? God is answerable to nobody, and he's advised by nobody, just as the Spirit does. Okay? And he, remember, Hong Kong is not your authority. Okay? Overseas is not your authority. God is the only authority in your life. You're answerable to him, and you are assured by him in this life. Not by property, not by people, or not by your popularity. Let's pray. Lord, you ask us to continue, Lord, to stand still in you, Lord. And Lord, you continue to ask us to sit still in you. And Lord, you continue to ask us to be still in you. Lord, no matter what happens in our life, help us, Lord, to be able to see you, Lord, because it's not the things that go around us that keep us down. It's just that our relationship with you is crumbling, Lord. Help us to cling on to you. Our security is in you because of your sovereign God, and you will continue to provide your salvation to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.